Hi. I'm Lauren. I'm an alcoholic. Whew. And my sobriety date is May 19th, 2013. And I relate a lot to Matt. Like, as a kid, I was super strange, kept to myself. I would, you know, have all this imaginary stuff in my head. I didn't grow up around a lot of kids. It was just kind of me and my parents in this house in the woods. And, you know, that's, I played with dirt and lizards. And that, you know, was just, it was fun. It was cool. But, you know, I wasn't a normal kid. I had a lot of trouble making friends. Just didn't really relate well to other kids. I did get, you know, bullied a little bit. And just really didn't like myself, really was depressed from a young age. You know, I had like a really great childhood and nothing to complain about, but I still was always depressed. I still felt less than. I still felt like just, you know, not good enough and sad. And that's kind of what alcohol fixed for me. I started drinking when I was 11. And of course, I didn't start drinking every day, you know. But from the very first experience with alcohol, it did something for me. It immediately allowed me to connect with other people in a way that I hadn't been before. You know, because I was always socially awkward. I still am. I still have, you know, social anxiety. And do not like, you know, I am still not comfortable talking around people, but that's one of the reasons I drink. That's what alcohol fixed for me. It also just made me be able to exhale and feel okay in my own skin, because I didn't even want to feel like super happy. Like, happy wasn't even my dream. I just wanted to feel okay. And alcohol made me okay. So drugs are part of my story as well. And you know, I started with alcohol and I ended with alcohol, but I think the drugs in between just kind of helped me speed up the process of getting here faster. So by the time I was 15, I was drinking and doing a bunch of drugs, and it was the center of my social life. It had, you know, it allowed me to get friends. I had been arrested once. You know, I thought it gave me street cred. I thought it was cool. I would tell people. I had dropped out of high school already, and my parents, you know, made me go to another one. And like all this stuff, I had already started getting consequences, and I was 15, and so I was at this new school, and I was determined, okay, like, I'm going to have friends. I was invited to my first real party, and I got my first real boyfriend, because I had always been just like way, way, way too scared to talk to boys at all, just terrified. So I got my first real boyfriend, and you know, at that point I had like zero self-esteem, and so he was like my first love and my everything. So when he gave me an ultimatum and said, you know, I don't like the way you drink, why do you drink so much? If you don't stop drinking and doing drugs completely, I'm going to break up with you. So at 15, I stopped, you know, I quit drinking for the first time. And at that point, like, obviously, well, I guess not obviously, I wasn't drinking every day. I identify myself as, like, the hard drinker in the book at that point, if given a sufficiently strong reason, I could stop or moderate. And I did. And I didn't drink again until my 19th birthday. So for those 3 years, while I didn't drink, I was in that relationship, and I was absolutely, like, the craziest I've ever been since, because I had known a solution, I had known alcohol, the thing that made me feel better, and now it was gone, and, I tried every way I could think of to change the way I felt, and that was I became anorexic, I started cutting, I started hitting my parents, I would cry every day, like I was just crazy. And of course, my parents sent me to therapy and on medication and all this stuff. And the relationship, you know, obviously was very sick. It was, now I know it was like mutually abusive, like we were just both very, very nuts. And so got through that, and when I finally got away from him for the last time, I realized, like, okay, I'm 19, I'm in college, I'm in a sorority, and I got, you know, time to make up for. And so I immediately started drinking every day. And within 6 months, like, I had to drink every single night. And it was really fun. I had a lot of fun. You know, I was in a sorority. They wanted, you know, the frat guys wanted the girls to get drunk so they'd pay for all the alcohol we could drink. And it was just like I was in heaven. It was great. But again, the consequences started quickly. I was pre-med in the Honors College with a bunch of scholarships. Within a couple semesters, all that was gone. Got kicked out of the Honors College, lost all my scholarships, most of them, and had to switch majors to an easier one because I just couldn't show up to class anymore. You know, I had a really bright future, but alcohol very, very quickly became a priority and the most important thing. You know, didn't care about school, didn't care about friends, got kicked out of the sorority, you know, for, well, hazing, but, you know, long story, whatever, I didn't haze. But, yeah, and just, you know, things started getting really bad really fast, and I would go from, you know, I still had, like, zero self-esteem, didn't know who I was. I just thought, you know, okay, I need another person to validate me. I need to get married. That's going to make me happy. That's you know, going to be the thing that really fixes my life. So I would go, ended up going from, like, boyfriend to boyfriend, and it would usually take, like, 3 months, and then they would realize how crazy I am and break up with me. So it would be, like, just me hopping from boyfriend to boyfriend. And whatever, like, style of type of music they listened to, whatever type of clothes they wore, things like that, like, I would immediately morph myself to be that because I didn't really have a sense of self, and I just, you know, I wanted you to like me, whatever that meant. And so whatever, like, drink or drug that person was doing, I would start doing. And so one boyfriend did harder drugs, and so I started doing that. And again, things went down. Like, my disease always progresses really quickly. So within about 6 months, I was, like, pawning everything, you know, doing things for money, just really screwing up my life in a lot of ways. I had to take a medical semester off school. I just couldn't do anything anymore. And that's when I had, you know, the consequences started getting a little bit more. It was the first time the cops got involved as an adult. Like, there was a weird situation where, like, apparently I hit a cop. I remember, like, I came to in a cop car, and then I came to again in the hospital without handcuffs, and, like, the ambulance had got there, and they decided to Baker Act me instead, and, like, all this crazy stuff started happening, and, like, I still didn't think I had a problem. And, you know, obviously people were saying, like, you got to get help at this point. And that's when I started going. I went to the other fellowship first. So I went to NA because I thought, okay, you know, I have a drug problem. And but the way I went to meetings was I went with my boyfriend. We went after the meeting started, left right when it ended, held hands and played on our phones the whole time. It didn't listen to anything. And I really didn't hear anything. And I'm sure they said things, but I just didn't hear it. And I came away convinced, like, okay, that doesn't work. You know, that's bullshit, whatever. And so eventually things got worse, as they do, and we decided, like, okay, we need to go to rehab. And so I went to a rehab, and they had us, you know, it was a good rehab, so they had us get a sponsor, and they introduced me to AA for the first time. And I got a sponsor in AA, and we started working steps, and I lied on the first step. And, you know, because what I believed was, I can't remember, 19 or 20, I was 19 or 20, I'm like, there's no way I'm an alcoholic. I'm not even old enough to legally drink. My problem is drugs, it's just this one drug, I just gotta stop doing it, then I'm good. So I lied on the first step, and then I went forward with the steps, and got to about step 8, got out of that rehab and was living in a halfway house because I thought, okay, I'm doing what they tell me to do. I'm doing good. Was like calling women and going to meetings and everything. And then something popped into my head. I was 78 days. I was on, you know, living in my halfway house. I was on my A-step. And this thought just like crossed my mind. You're doing so good. You deserve a drink. And like, I was living in this halfway house and they breathalyzed every night. And so to drink would have been, you know, jeopardizing my place to live. And I had just got out of rehab, but this insane thought said, you deserve a drink. It's going to be okay. You can just have one. And for me, like, that's how I know I'm really an alcoholic, because that's the insanity of the first drink. Like, I was completely, there was nothing in my body. And I had just this insane thought. And I couldn't control it. And it was just this obsession of this, the mind, the mental blank spot, like all of that happened in that moment. And of course I drank and I had more than one because that's what I do. When I drink, you know, I have the allergy of the body, the phenomenon of craving. So when I put any alcohol into my system, I have more, whether I intend to or not. And so I blew the breathalyzer and got kicked out of the halfway house. And for the next 3 years, I didn't do that drug again, but it was just me and alcohol. And that's when I fully conceded to my innermost self that, like, how am I doing on time? That, like, yes, I am really, really an alcoholic, and it's not just drugs, and it's, I'm not too young, and, you know, all this stuff. And, but it had to progress a while, and it progressed to daily drinking and driving. And I never got a DUI, and I've still never been arrested as an adult. And I really don't know why, honestly. It's like a God thing. That's my yet, I guess. Something I believe that if I ever go out drinking again, like, I'm going to get a DUI. I am owed it. But I did have, like, I did total a car, like, blackout going through an intersection at 3 p.m. And, like, all kinds of other crazy, like, almost close calls. But I don't know. So that happened. And also, the other, one of the many things that kept me out of AA is the fact that I was also raised Catholic-ish and had become an atheist. And I just really, I almost like envied people who did believe, because I'm like, they feel comfort and they believe in this like mythical thing that is comforting them, and they have an afterlife, and I just had nothing, and I didn't know how to believe. I thought, like, I'm too smart to believe, they're dumb. Like, I really believed that, and that's just, I don't know. I don't know why, it's just what I believed. And so, you know, as things progressed, I really wanted to do this whole, you know, I'm going to get married, that's going to fix it thing. And so I finally got someone to stay with me for 6 months. And I'm like, okay, that's long enough. He should propose now. And so we were, I'm going to go to the premiere of Star Trek Into Darkness. And we were going to, like, do cosplay because we were Trekkies. And I'm like, okay, he's going to propose tonight. And, you know, he didn't because it was 6 months and that's crazy. And, and so I got really mad at him, and the next night I got blackout drunk with my best friend, who I'm still friends with, and I cheated on him, and I didn't want to. And like, when I woke up in the morning, I was like, crap, I did it again. Like, that's not, you know, I hate people who cheat. That's not me. However, it had become me. Like, that was the fifth boyfriend in a row I had cheated on while drunk. And, you know, there was just lots of other things that I did when I was drinking that just were the opposite of what I wanted, and just, it made me hate myself even more. And I've always had, you know, struggled with depression and mental health stuff, and I was always suicidal. And, you know, every time after when I would wake up in the morning and say, like, oh crap, I did this again, and just be so suicidal and just, I don't know, I never attempted, don't know why, just, I just hated being alive, I hated myself, I had no hope, and I was always wondering, like, why is the medication and therapy not working? Well, if you drink every day, like, that messes with it, and I never really understood that either, but, yeah, so I was just super suicidal, and I was like, okay, do I kill myself? Like, maybe not, and just feeling really hopeless, and I'm like, okay, maybe I can go back to rehab. So I called my parents. Well, I researched the most expensive rehab in the country. I don't remember what it is was anymore, but I asked my parents for $50,000 to go back to rehab, and they said no, and I was really mad at them. And then I remembered, you know, the AA thing from 3 years ago, and I said, okay, I kind of made this deal with myself, like, okay, I'm going to go to this meeting, and I'm going to do everything they said, because, you know, I got the exposure, I was exposed to it, I kind of knew what to do, I knew what I had to do, and I said, okay, I'm going to do everything they say, and if it doesn't work, then I'll kill myself later. So, like, that's how I came to AA, and I remember it was this meeting in another building, but I remember being in the parking lot, and, like, in my car, and just sitting in my car, and, like, getting out, and then getting back in the car, and then getting out and getting back in the car. Like, I just had nowhere else to go, no hope. Like, I tried everything, years of therapy, medication, all kinds of, you know, every men to fix me. I tried everything I could think of. Actually had a psychology degree, and I did end up graduating, and like all my electives were in addiction and stuff, because like I wanted to figure myself out and fix myself, but I just couldn't. So I came back to this meeting, picked up a white chip. The first person I talked to, I asked to be my sponsor, and I started working steps right then, because it was just like, I was hopeless, I was desperate, and that was like the best place I could have been. That was the best gift I could have been given. I was just out of ideas. So I had just kind of stopped showing up to my job. So I had a lot of spare time to go to meetings and do step work. And my parents were really awesome. So they paid for me to move out of my apartment and into a halfway house, and just kind of supported me while I did AA and worked part-time at Starbucks. And it was super cool. It was like the coolest thing ever. I got to do like 3 meetings a day, and I just kind of followed my sponsor around. I was super active. I like dove into service, and I started making friends and having a lot of fun in AA. I did my steps, you know, I had a lot of time, and my sponsor was really willing to spend a lot of time with me, so I worked my steps really fast. And when I was 13 days sober, she said, get in the car, we're going to Fort Myers to FICCIPA, Florida Conference of Young People in AA. And it was this big convention of 1,000 sober young people, and all hopped up on Red Bull and really excited to be there. And I still wasn't a big fan of people, but I went because I was just doing whatever I was told, because I was, you know, out of ideas. So I went, and I had my 4-step ready. So we did my 5th step in the hotel room. And I had just always thought like I was this really crappy, messed up person, and there was just something seriously wrong with me in the way I thought, and I was just like an innately bad person. But everything I said, pretty much everything, my sponsor said me too. And if she didn't say me too, she said, oh, I know someone who did that, or I've done way worse than that, or, you know, she just made me feel okay and like just another alcoholic. And that's kind of the way I came out feeling after that. And that was really, because I was like the terminally unique case. I was like, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, but I also have all these like mental health issues, and I've also done all this bad stuff, and I'm also this, like I'm different in all these other ways. And I just came out of there feeling like I'm just another alcoholic. This can work for me too. So that was really cool. And it was really hard for me to see my part in things, like especially with that relationship when I was younger, because I still blame that person for a lot of things. And it was like really empowering to see that I did have a part. And even if my part was still like playing the victim and using it to manipulate other people currently, and you know, stuff like that. So it was just, it was amazing for me. And so, you know, I did my sixth step, did my little hour meditation in the hotel room, and then I took a nap because I was really tired because it was exhausting. And when I woke up from my nap, it was time to get ready for the big rave and, you know, with the 1,000 sober people. And that's when I had my, like, white light spiritual experience. And I think that I had to have a serious experience. It couldn't be the educational variety for me just because, I don't know, I needed that. I was so, like, close to suicide. I just needed something. So, and it was the simplest thing. It's just all of a sudden I woke up and I felt okay, sober. And I never, ever, ever in life felt okay, sober. And like, I still get goosebumps right now. Like, it was just the most amazing thing. Like, doing all these seemingly just unrelated and ridiculous things, like being the greeter and calling other women and talking about nothing and praying to the air and just all this stupid stuff and attending meeting and talking to people I didn't like and, you know, just stuff I didn't want to do. And it worked. And it was the craziest thing. And this feeling I had was something that, like that's why I drank. That was the ease and comfort that I drank for. So in that moment, I was like, okay, I guess, you know, the sobriety thing works. I guess I don't have to kill myself. I guess God is real. And it was just the coolest, you know, thing ever. And so, you know, I went to the big rave and I crowd surfed and there was glow sticks and it was awesome. And then after that, I got to join the bid for Ficky Paw for the next year. And then I got to be on the host committee for the next year after that when we hosted in Tampa. And just, I was listening to a speaker tape in the car today. This lady was like, I was just so messed up that I had to be involved in service. Like, I had to do a lot of service. And that was kind of my thing. Like, I've always had to do a whole lot of service because I'm so messed up. And it's what gives me, like, purpose in life and joy. And, yeah, so, you know, work the steps. And immediately at 30 days sober, pretty much, my sponsor said, okay, now you're ready to sponsor. And I was like, okay. And I did. And it was, you know, obviously really crazy people who would ask someone with 30 days sober to sponsor them. But I did. And, you know, I stayed sober. And I've always, you know, I love sponsorship. I've learned more and grown more through, you know, sponsoring other women. That's like the gift in sobriety. And I used to feel so like useless before, and that's what makes me feel useful now. So, you know, fast forward a little bit. I managed to stay single for a year. It was kind of an accident. But my sponsor ended up introducing me to this guy that she knew from childhood. And we hit it off. And a few years later, we ended up getting married, having a sober wedding. And Matt was there as a plus one. Super weird. yeah. And so I got to have, you know, I thought I had it all. You know, I was just in the middle of AA, in the middle of the boat, had this, like, marriage and house, and everything was great. And then the problem was that I was practicing the principles in all of my affairs except for my marriage. You know, I thought just because I wasn't cheating anymore that meant I was a good wife. And that's not true, you know. I just wasn't being a nice person. I was still being selfish, and just there was a whole lot of things that I was not doing that I should have been doing You know, I was treating sponsees and people in AA with respect, but not my husband. So, he left, and my whole world just, I just thought I was going to die. It was so painful. It was the first time that I questioned my faith in God. I'm like, well, is God really real? Like, I thought this was my gift, you know, this is my reward for being sober. And I just, you know, the only thing that saved me is the fact that I had like a million service positions at the time, and I was like as in the middle of the boat as you can be. I think I was on district, intergroup treasurer, had a bunch of commitments, had sponsees, like really active in my home group, just lots of stuff going on, and people just surrounded me. And I lost trust in God at the moment, but I had seen y'all go through absolutely horrible things and walk through it sober. And just, you know, come in, cry about it, talk about it, and eventually things got better. And so I believed you guys when you said it would be okay. And like the big miracle of it is because I kept showing up and kept doing all the things and like accepted the help from other people. I didn't think about drinking once during that whole divorce. And like, that's, to me, that's just so crazy because, like, alcohol was my solution to everything. You know, good or bad or indifferent, and especially, oh my God, especially breakups. And that was my first breakup in sobriety, was a divorce. And it was so horrible, but, like, I didn't have to drink, and it was like things got down to, like, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and now I've built back, like, you know, things got better, obviously. Things, the pain goes away, like, it, things heal. And I have, my faith in God now is stronger than it's ever been, because I know I can go through absolutely anything, and I'm going to be okay. And there's, like, and I don't ever have to drink. Like, there's nothing that can make me drink, as long as I keep doing all this stuff in AA. I've also had, you know, a hard time with mental health stuff in sobriety. There's been some periods of time, including recently, where I've really, really struggled. You know, finding, you know, outside help, finding the right outside help, things not working. And again, the solution is always to been to, you know, I need to do all these things in addition to AA. It can never be instead of. And as long as I keep coming, there's still hope. Like, things are gonna get better. And now things are pretty good right now. I don't really know. I'm in a relationship right now for about a year and a half. I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know. It's kind of rocky. Don't know. But I'm going to keep, you know, showing up and doing the right thing. And I know that whatever's supposed to, you know, however things are supposed to work out, they're going to work out. I guess the whole, it's really, really cool, I guess, circling back to the God thing, to hear, you know, someone exactly like me just, I just didn't believe, and my sponsor said all I had to do was, like, just say, like, in the morning, if there's anything out there, please keep me sober, and at night, say, if there's anything out there, thank you for keeping me sober. And, like, literally, that's all that was needed, and the rest came. Like, the 12 steps promised a spiritual experience, and, like, I had one. And so that's pretty cool. Trying to think, that might be it. I think that's it. Thank you for letting me speak.